Welcome to Maranatha Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Femi Fenoyo.
We have joined a series that I've been doing on Maranatha YouTube teaching channel titled The Bible. We have joined the series at the beginning of another season, which we have titled The Story of the Whole Bible.
Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Bible actually told us why Cain and his sacrifice was rejected. Cain's sacrifice did not meet God's acceptable standard of sacrifice, and therefore he was rejected. It is not because of God was playing favoritism. No. Abel's sacrifice met God's standard of sacrifice, and so he and his sacrifice were accepted. Cain did not meet the standard. It's just simple. If you're sitting as a student, you know, in an exam, if you meet the standard, if you answer the question right, you will pass. If you don't answer the question right, you will fail. Okay, if the teacher asks you to write about A and you wrote about B, even if what you wrote about B is fantastic, even what you wrote about B is gorgeous, that is not the question. The question is to write about A. If you don't write about A, you will fail. And it's the same thing here. Cain was rejected. Cain's sacrifice was rejected because it did not meet the standard that God has laid down for sacrifice. So what we want to do today, as we move closer, as we move on in our teaching, is we want to take a closer look at this event again. And we want to look closer and we want to compare and contrast Cain and Abel's sacrifice. So what we want to do is that we are going to read two New Testament commentary on this story of Cain and Abel's sacrifice. They will help us to dig more into this story. And then we compare and contrast both their sacrifices. So we'll read New Testament commentary on this event. Then we'll look at their sacrifice in the light of their profession. Was Cain disadvantaged because he was a farmer? Was Abel in an advantage situation because he was a shepherd? So we will look at their sacrifices in the light of their profession. And finally, we will then look at their sacrifices in the light of God's revealed protocol and standard, which we have actually done a lot of that already. But we want to put all these things together. So what we're going to do, first of all, is to read two New Testament commentary that actually throw a little bit of light on this event. So let us read first John chapter 3, verse 12. So this will be our first commentary. First John chapter 3, verse 12. Obviously, this is in the middle of a thought process, but we are dealing with the issue of Cain and Abel here. Then verse 12 says, Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, the progression of this verse is very, very important. Now, again, we are not keying into the context, but what we want to take an instruction here on the commentary is gave us about the event of Genesis chapter 4. Okay. Now it tells us that Cain was of the wicked one. We've already seen that that doesn't mean that Cain's father was the devil in the sense of biological father. We have mentioned that. Yes, Cain is of the wicked one because his nature is like the devil. Okay. He manifested the nature of Satan. So he said Cain was of the wicked one and he killed his brother. And why did Cain kill his brother? He said, because Cain's work were evil and Abel's work were righteous. Cain's work were evil, he said. Now, that word works there, that is translated work in the New, in the King James, actually means deeds. It means acts. So here he's talking to us about Cain's deeds and Cain's act. In other words, the acts and the deeds of Cain, the Bible tells us, were evil. And obviously that included his act and his deed of sacrifice that we read in Genesis chapter 4. And that word evil is also very important. The word that is translated evil in that 1 John chapter 3 verse 12 actually means slothful. It means bad. It means wicked. It means malicious. Cain's deeds, Cain's act, which included his deed and his act that we see manifested in the process of his sacrifice, his act was slothful, his acts were wicked, his act were malicious, his act were evil. Now, Cain's sacrifice was not just neutral before God. It was not just an oversight or a honest mistake on the part of Cain. This verse is telling us here that no, it is much more than that. That his attitude and his approach during this sacrifice was typical and is a picture of his bad, wicked, malicious, and slothful way of life. What we see Cain demonstrated when it was time for him to bring sacrifice to God was actually who Cain was in himself. That is the manner of life Cain was living. A wicked, slothful, bad, malicious life. And that was the same attitude with which he brought sacrifice to God. And as we go through this, it's not about Cain. These are written for our teaching, for our learning, for our admonition. That our sacrifice will not be any better, will not be of a better quality than the life that we live as a Christian, okay? And our sacrifice will not be a bribe to God to overlook our sloppy, slothful, malicious life. And this is what we are seeing here in the life of Cain. And obviously, on the opposite side, in the life of Abel, that Cain's sacrifice was actually typical. It was a picture of the way he lived his life, even though on the outside, Cain seems to perform an act of worship. Even though on the outside, Cain seems to perform an act of piety, an act of worship. I mean, the Bible says that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. On the outside, that sounded and that looks commendable. But actually, on the inside, what this verse is telling us here is that it was actually an act of rebellion against God. That when you look deeper, even though on the outside he's dancing and bringing offering to the Lord, he's giving tithe and offering to the Lord, or maybe he's given his time or her time. But the truth is that the Lord that sees the heart knows that this act of Cain was actually an act of rebellion against God, that the whole process was against the divine protocol and instruction that the Lord has already laid down. We didn't know that because Cain was able to deceive us. And when we were reading, Cain was able to deceive us, but he couldn't deceive God because God can see through the smoke screen that this shenanigan, this activity was not actually according to divine protocol. It was actually in stark contrast. It was a rebellion against that process of sacrifice, that protocol of sacrifice that God has already laid down. Essentially, Cain's sacrifice was a revolt against God. And in turn, his sacrifice revolted God because God considered his sacrifice to be evil. God considered his sacrifice to be wicked. There was something about Cain's sacrifice that reminded us of the devil or the serpent in the Garden of Eden, which is why the Bible said Cain was of the wicked one. That is what this verse is telling us. This commentary is telling us about this event. The commentary we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. There, opening our eyes to actually see what is going on. You know, I'm always amused at people that rubbishes God's clear revelation of himself, that rubbishes God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, that rubbishes God's law, his precepts, his commandment, his status, and his judgment. There are these people that rubbishes God's clear guidelines and protocol for salvation and communion, and yet they still claim to be Christian. Yet they still claim to be Christian denomination. Yet they still claim to be people that believe in God. The truth is, like Cain, they live life of disobedience. They live life of evil. They live life of rebellion, of wickedness against God's clear instruction and protocol. And yet they continue to perform religious act of piety. Yet they continue to perform religious act of worship. And the Bible says such people are rejected, with their sacrifice just like Cain was rejected. And the Bible has a lot to say to and about this group of people, just like it did to Cain. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are going to read verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. You know, all this characteristic that is described here for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, every single one of them describe Cain and describe a lot of our generation today that claim to be Christians. And we can see over and over again here characters that are in direct rebellion against God. And one of the things that we'll see is that, just like Cain, one of the foremost characteristics of our generation, even among so-called Christians, is not the absence of religion, but rather the denial of the true God. The denial of God to be God. The denial of allowing God to be God. Okay, and that will be one of the foremost characteristics of our generation. We worship him with our mouth, but our heart is far away from him. We call him Lord, but we really don't serve him as God. We don't serve him as Lord. And that is exactly what we see here in the life of Cain. The Christianity of the last day will be godless, will be Christless, will be crossless, will be bloodless. And that is the type of Christianity that we are going to see in the last days. And that was exactly what was going on in the life of Cain. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4 in the New Living Translation, I will read that for us. The Bible says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after meats. Now, this was the spirit that was operating in Cain. And this, the Bible tells us, is the spirit that will operate in the last days, that is already operating in the last days. Mm-hmm. Essentially, is a group of people that follow their own desires. They reject God. They reject the truth of God, even though we still claim to be Christian. But essentially, we have become our own God. We have become the rule. And you remember that was what led to the fall of Adam and Eve in the first place. Okay? They wanted to know good and evil as the rule maker, not as the one that obeyed the rule. They want to be the one that is in charge. They want to be the one that gives the rule. And that is exactly what will happen in the end of the days. And that is exactly what we saw in the life of Cain. Now, Jude helped us to connect this group of rebels to Cain. I mean, Jude was talking, among others, mentioned the name of Cain. And it gives us God's attitude to this group of people. So we're going to read Jude. Jude has only one chapter. We're going to read verses 10 to 13. So you will see how the Bible connects Cain to rebellion and this group of people that we are going to see in the end time. And we are going to see clearly again in the book of Jude, God's attitude, God's reaction to this type of people. So let's read Jude chapter 1, only one chapter, verses 10 to 13. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe to them, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsay of Kore. So we had three people here that the Bible mentioned. First and foremost among them is Cain, and then what? Balaam, and then what? Kore. And you will notice that all these three group of people were people that actually have a knowledge of God, but they were used of the devil. Verse 12, these are sport in your feast of charity, when the feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, cloud they are without water, carried about of wind, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, raging waves of sea, foaming out of their windshield, wandering storm. Look at this. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Woe unto them. And to them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It is important for us to understand here that God takes this type of attitude very seriously. Cain was introduced to us in this portion that we read in the book of Jude as the first and the most pronounced example of wickedness in the Old Testament. In his wickedness, Cain defied God. He defied God. God is deity, but Cain defied God. Okay? He rejected the truth. He defied God and then destroyed his own brother. And that is why Jude introduced him to us as the first and the most pronounced example of wickedness in the scripture. And Jude then went on to talk about the way of Cain. The way of Cain. And that phrase is quite interesting because that phrase speaks of habitual course of conduct. Remember what I said a moment ago, that this was not a slip in character. This was the habit of Cain. It was habitual of him to want to do it his own way, you know. And that's a thing today. I do it my own way. And people put it on their epitaph. People sing about a song. If it is, if it feels good, do it. I am my own human. I am my own man. I'm my own woman. I will do it my own way. And that's what the scripture is saying here. The way of Cain. This is an habit. It's an habitual course of conduct. So Cain's attitude during the sacrifice is the way he lives his life generally. And the word woe is very, very important. The word woe that is used here, and you know the Lord Jesus used that word a lot also, woe unto you Pharisees, woe unto you scribe, woe unto you. That word actually is a strong word of denunciation. It's a strong word of rejection. Woe. God rejected Cain and his sacrifice, and Cain knew that he was rejected. Okay, this was not a secret rejection. God rejected Cain. God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And somehow, I don't know how God communicated it to him, Cain knew that he was rejected. So when the Bible says, when this word that we say, woe unto them, we need to understand that that word is a strong word of denunciation. It's an exclamation of judgment on evil and wickedness of men, starting with Cain. Woe. So when God utters woe against evil and wicked men, what he's doing is to set divine judgment in motion. That is what he's doing. Remember what we are doing. Remember what we are doing. I know we are going back and forth. We are taking a closer look at Cain and Abel's sacrifice, and we are comparing and contrasting. So we have looked, you know, remember what we are doing? We are looking at two scriptures that is giving us a commentary that help us to understand this. So we have looked at 1 John 3:12. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:4. And I think we'll probably end up there today. Hebrews 11:4. Let's read Hebrews 11:4. By faith. And this is going to tell us something about Abel. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speak. Now, this is going to be very, very important. And you know what? I think we should stop there, because if I take this, it's going to take us a little bit longer. So where we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it tells us something about Cain, and we have looked at that. Now, we are now going to look at where we have read now in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and it's going to talk to us something about Abel. And we're going to see some quality and character about Abel, and quality and character about his sacrifice that makes his sacrifice to be acceptable unto God. Remember what we are doing? We are looking at this question. Why did God accept Abel and his sacrifice? And why did God reject Cain and his sacrifice? And now, to help us take a closer look and compare and contrast both of them, we are looking at these two New Testament commentary on that event. We have looked at one. And next time, by the grace of God, we will look at the next one, which will be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And then we'll move it forward after that and ask ourselves, was the fact that Abel, a shepherd, does that make him to have some advantage? We're going to see that actually that's not the case. Okay, we're going to see that next time by the grace of God. And finally, we are then going to compare all this against God's protocol, which we have been doing before, but we're going to put all this together and learn a great lesson from this. And if you're listening to me tonight, the message here is to say, look, we don't come to God anyhow. We don't come to God our own way. God has provided a way, because that is the only way. Okay, we can't make it back ourselves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. There is no other name that is given among men whereby we might be saved. That's the way. That's the way. You either take it and be saved, or reject it and be lost. And I'm trusting that you will be smart and take it and be saved. Come to Jesus tonight. Ask him to save you. Or whatever time you are listening to this, ask him to save you. He will come and save you. He will take the deadness out of your heart, give you life. He will walk with you, be your father, your friend. And when this is all over, you will spend eternity with him in the new heaven and the new earth. We sincerely invite you to check out our teachings on YouTube Maranatha Teaching Channel. They will bless you. Thank you.